You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
What can $1 billion get you? Well, it sounds like a question on a McKinsey interview or an Oxford University interview, but I can tell you what it cannot get you. It cannot get you a confirmed spot on the list of the 100 richest Indians by Forbes. That, I can assure you. 30 candidates worth over $1 billion did not make it to this year's list, a list consumed by the billion plus of the country with equal parts admiration and envy. From the great philosophers, Sophocles to Socrates to Plato, to some of the wealthiest men history has seen, Andrew Carnegie to Henry Ford to John D. Rockefeller. We've heard them all emphasize the uselessness of wealth if it didn't also contribute to the betterment of mankind. We've heard them all, at various points, speak of happiness and contentment as the greatest wealth, far superior to material wealth. Did it stop them from accruing more of it? Well, no. We read these quotes, we nod in agreement, we say Om, and while participating in the morally superior act of denouncing the worth of wealth, we still entertain that small voice in our heads which always asks, what would I do with $1 billion? On our pick of the day, we will entertain a slightly different question. What did these billionaires do to get to be billionaires? Who are these billionaires? On the latest Forbes list of the richest Indians, Mukesh Ambani, with a net worth of $47.3 billion, comes up tops again, his 11th consecutive time claiming Mount Moneybags India. With a net worth of $21 billion, less than half of Ambani's, is Wipro's Azim Premji a distant second. Lakshmi Mittal, the Hinduja brothers, and Palonji Mistry round up the top five this year. With their combined wealth of just over $120 billion, these men are worth more than the combined GDP of Uruguay and Luxembourg. Or well, more than the combined GDP of the bottom 46 countries of the world. Trust me, I count it. How much money is too much money? That is too much money. Not bitter in the least. This is me, Rakesh, and you're listening to Money Control.
Editors, pick of the day.
Who are the richest Indians?
The year that went by was momentous for the Indian economy, as the effects of demonetization and the rollout of the goods and services tax, that is GST, wore off, new hurdles sprang up by means of a weakening rupee and escalating crude oil prices. The rupee is, of course, the poorest performing Asian currency as I speak. In spite of the inopportune financial situation, Indian entrepreneurs have managed to multiply their wealth in the past 12 months, albeit slower. Nazneen Karmali, India editor of Forbes Asia, writes, and I quote, "It was a slow year for the growth of net worth of India's richest. The combined net worth of the 100 wealthiest individuals grew by only 2.7% to $492 billion from $479 billion in 2017, unquote. Sad. Let's quickly run through the list of the top 10 richest Indians and then delve into some notable rises and additions and dropouts from the list. Reliance's Mukesh Ambani with $47.3 billion, Wipro's Azim Premji with $21 billion, ArcelorMittal's Lakshmi Mittal with $18.3 billion, Hinduja Group's Hinduja Brothers, that is Ashok, Gopichand, Prakash and Srichand, with a combined worth of $18 billion, former chairman of Shapoorji Palonji Group, Palonji Mistry, with $15.7 billion, HCL's Shiv Nadar with $14.6 billion, the Godrej family with $14 billion, Sun Farmers' Dilip Shanghvi, $12.6 billion, Aditya Birla Group's Kumar Mangalam Birla with $12.5 billion, and Adani Group's Gautam Adani with $11.9 billion make up the top 10 club. If you don't have at least $10 billion, or to be specific, $11.9 billion, you're not part of this club, I'm sorry. Azim Premji's wealth rose by about $2 billion from the past year, and that of Mittal by about $1.8 billion. The first rule of the top 10 billionaire club is, have $11.9 billion or more. The second rule is, read the first rule again. To be counted among the top 100, the entry-level wealth is $1.48 billion, an increase of $20 million from last year. What about the ladies? Only four women are part of this club. Savitri Jindal is ranked at 14 with a net worth of $8.35 billion. Biocon's Kiran Mazumdar-Shaw occupies rank 39 with a wealth of $3.6 billion. Pharma company heiress Leena Tiwari with a fortune of $2.5 billion is ranked 64th. Kiran Mazumdar-Shaw was also the biggest gainer percentage-wise across the list. She saw her wealth soar by two-thirds. Shares of her Biocon jumped when it received approval from the US FDA, that is the Food and Drug Administration, last December for a cancer drug co-developed with Mylan, and have nearly doubled in the past 12 months. Vinod Rai Gupta of Havells Group is also on the list, along with her son, Anil Rai Gupta. Mallika Srinivasan, as part of the Amalgamation's family wealth, is also included in the list, which is otherwise an all-male testosterone club. Well, who are the youngest and who are the oldest on this list? Age is just a number, people might say, but then so is a billion. Another rule of the Billionaires Club is also that you have to be at least 40. Read another way, it takes time to make billions. The youngest on the list is certainly no fresher to the list, and that is Paytm's Vijay Shekhar Sharma, this time being his second time on the list. Being a household name in as little as 2 years takes work, and the dividends are billions, 2.15 billions to be precise, because that's the number that Vijay Shekhar Sharma has against his name. The recent endorsement of Paytm by the Oracle of Omaha and one-time richest man on the planet, Warren Buffett, has certainly rubbed off the right way. Maybe it's like Darshan. You get touched by Warren Buffett, you become a billionaire. I'm just guessing. Paytm was valued at $10 billion by Berkshire Hathaway, which also pumped in $300 million in the firm, joining the ranks of marquee investors like Alibaba and SoftBank, which have also supported Paytm. 2018 might have been a difficult year for many on many different counts, but it has certainly brought Vijay to one V. Shekhar Sharma. To all those young daydreamers out there, the youngest on the list after Sharma is trained radiologist and son-in-law of a Gulf retailing billionaire M.A. Yusuf Ali, who's also ranked 26th on the list, by the way. And that son-in-law, doctor, is Shamshir Vailil of VPS Healthcare. At 41 years of age, he has a net worth of $1.54 billion. And if you think it's only family and connections that can get you there as early as your 40s, we offer you the third youngest on the list at rank 29 of age 44, Samir Gehlot of Indiabulls Housing Finance, a company that Samir started with two of his pals from IIT Delhi in 1999. He sits pretty, much like the prime real estate that the company has acquired in Mumbai, with $4.2 billion against his name. Ranjan Pai, at 45, and of Manipal, has $1.86 billion. Patanjali's Acharya Balakrishna, of 46 years of age, has $4.8 billion against his name. And Vikas Oberoi, 48 years of age, and not related to the Oberois of the hospitality fame, are among the small group of the richest Indians under 50. Within this group, we have to note that Patanjali Ayurved's co-founder, Acharya Balakrishna, saw his wealth erode by more than a fourth as sales of the herbal consumer goods company slowed. Balakrishna's rank dropped 6 notches to number 25, with his wealth shrinking to $4.8 billion this year from $6.55 billion in 2017. Perhaps the erosion in the wealth is because they're giving away petrol for 35 rupees? I don't know. I could only guess. If Vijay Shekhar Sharma is the youngest on the list, who's the oldest? The oldest, at 92, is pharmaceutical sector grand old man Samprad Singh, chairman emeritus and founder of Alchem Laboratories. He spends his 10th decade in relative material comfort. $3.3 billion is not bad. Pallonji Mistry, at 89, is among the oldest occupiers of this list. The Mistry's family's biggest asset is, of course, an 18.4% stake in Tata Sons, which is the holding outfit of the $100 billion Tata Group, which is a conglomerate of 100 companies. Ironically enough, it is with the Tatas that the younger son of Pallonji, that is Cyrus Mistry, has been waging a battle. Cyrus is embroiled in a legal battle with the Tata Group after he was suddenly ousted as chairman of Tata Sons in October 2016. A quick detour to the thrill of being Mukesh Ambani. Mukesh Ambani, king of the list and Stanford dropout, take that, Stanford, added $9.3 billion to his wealth this year. His latest mega venture, Jio, has signed on 215 million customers by offering free domestic voice calls, dirt cheap data services, and virtually free smartphones, as Forbes Asia called it, dirt cheap data services. How much money he stands to make or lose via Jio is not yet entirely known, but when it comes to sparking off a price war in the telecom sector and being among the biggest disruptors in Indian industry, period, Mukesh Ambani tops that list as well. According to a report by Barclays Hurun India Rich List 2018, another rich list, Mukesh Ambani's wealth rose by 300 crore rupees per day over the past 1 year. Can you imagine? You and I spend a weekend doing nothing but Netflix and veg, and Mukesh Ambani, during that same period, would have made 600 crore rupees. Shame on us. What about the newcomers and dropouts on this list? Forbes India noted that the 2018 list saw 5 newcomers and 8 dropouts. The new faces include Graphite India's Krishna Kumar Bangur at rank 91 with $1.7 billion, Sridhar Vembu of Zoho ranked 96 with $1.56 billion, Tarang Jain of Varroc Engineering ranked 95 with $1.59 billion, and South India's infrastructure magnate PP Reddy of Megha Engineering and Infrastructure is the richest newcomer. newcomer with $3.1 billion against his name and debuting at rank 47. Krishna Kumar Bangur's Graphite India's shares have tripled in rupee terms in the past 12 months, earning Krishna Kumar Bangur, who owns a 65% stake, a debut spot in the top 100. He's listed at 91, like I said. Despite the windfall, Bangur, 58 years of age, has jubilation on hold, as Anuranganathan says, writing for Forbes Asia. He said to her, and I quote, "It's a feel-good factor, nothing else. We cannot afford to lose our heads. I feel more of a sense of responsibility now," unquote. Among the more significant dropouts this year is Yes Bank's Rana Kapoor after the Reserve Bank of India asked him to step down as CEO in January. The announcement saw the bank's share price drop 29% in a day. Speaking of drops, low-cost airline IndiGo's father-son duo Kapil and Rahul Bhatia took the hit of higher fuel prices. Their ranking fell 10 notches on the list to number 41, with $3.55 billion in wealth compared to $4.4 billion in a year-ago period. No longer on the list, Nirav Modi and Vijay Mallya. Wonder what happened to those guys. Like Nirav Modi and Vijay Mallya, but also extremely not like them, there is a growing list of Indians living abroad, expanding abroad, while also retaining strong roots and business ties here in India. On this year's list, we see a fair few of them. The latest entrant into the list, Bangur of Graphite India, is one such, being, as he is, a permanent resident of Singapore. Dinesh Kanabar, CEO of Mumbai tax and regulatory firm Dhruva Advisors, said to Anuranganathan of Forbes Asia, and I quote, "People want to diversify their assets or their businesses overseas or are seeking more tax-friendly options," unquote. With its low corporate tax rates of 17% compared with India's 25-30% and exemptions on income earned overseas, Singapore is among the more popular havens, writes Anu. Shyam Bhartia, founder and chairman of Jubilant Bhartia Group and ranked 75 this year, has been living in Singapore on an employment pass since 2015. Malvinder Singh of Fortis, erstwhile occupant of the list and currently occupying territory marked Deep Trouble, was also a Singapore resident. Forbes Asia, in its coverage of the list, goes on to explain why that might be, and I quote, "India's reputation as a difficult place to do business is one reason why some tycoons opt for such a peripatetic existence. While the country moved up several notches in the World Bank's ease of doing business ranking in 2018 to 100 from 130 a year earlier, rules for starting a business, for example, or even to register property remain complex. Singapore, on the other hand, for ease of doing business, ranks number 2 and Cyprus number 53. Why do I bring up Cyprus? Because Cyprus is also the destination one-time occupant of the list, Surendra Hiranandani, of the real estate fame, opted as his residence. Palonji Mistry, one of the oldest on the list and also one of the wealthiest on the list, whose wife Patsy is Irish, has been an Irish citizen since 2003.
Editor's pick of the day.
Who are the richest Indians?
And finally, we end with the same question we started with. What can $1 billion get you? You can buy the White House, if you're so inclined. Valued at about $400 million, the White House is well within a billionaire's reach. Although, in view of its most recent occupant, I imagine there has been a depreciation in its property value, and I imagine you wouldn't want to go anywhere near that. If you'd rather not touch American polity with the long end of a barge pole, you can still go for British royalty. You can't buy Buckingham Palace, which comes in at $1.4 billion, but you can buy one of the Queen's favourite properties in Scotland, Balmoral Castle. You can take your family of four on a trip to space and have them do spacewalks and still have over $500 million left. You can, hypothetically, buy 20 1962 Ferrari 250 GTOs and still have $300 million left. With those $300 million left from all those Ferraris, you can buy Larry Ellison's Hawaiian island of Lanai. If you want mobile luxury rather than a tropical island, you can spend the same 300 mil on a boat like Dennis Washington did on his Atessa 4. If you don't want any of this, you can just buy the Chicago Cubs for $1 billion. Or you can give away a lot of it to your alma mater and encourage research and education, like Mayor Bloomberg did when he gave away $350 million to Johns Hopkins, or like Bezos is planning on doing with his billions. Or not. The question, therefore, is how much money is too much money? Where does the buck stop? Thank you for joining us.
This has been today's Editor's Pick. And you've been listening to Money Control.